Chapter 18. 13 days after her battle with Saraj, and 12 days after her confession to Magician Avioski, Cianni stood in a short corridor of the Ministry of Licensing, in the wing devoted to the use of magic. She had at her side a giant tweed bag purchased to hold all 58 of her handcrafted spells, based off the list Magician Bailey had given her. She had received no further instructions, save that she was to bring the spells with her to the ministry. She wondered if they would be examined by a group of folders for skill, or perhaps by other magicians who would judge her creativity. Perhaps it was merely a test of whether or not she had been able to complete the list. She might have to debate her reasoning for each spell. Emery had never encouraged her to study debate. She squeezed the handle of the bag, trying to ignore the moistness of her hands. A small golden bell hanging over an unmarked door in the hallway rang, her signal that it was time to begin. With a deep breath, Cianni hefted her tweed bag and approached the door, turning the handle, and she paused when the doorknob stuck. She twisted it again, back and forth, but it didn't budge. The door was locked. She glanced up at the bell and felt a flush creep up her neck. Swallowing against a dry throat, she lifted her hand and gently rapped on the door. Nothing happened. No voices or noises of any sort came from within, though Cianni knew both Magician Avioski and Magician Bailey were inside. She'd seen them enter herself. She rapped again, only to be met with silence. She twisted the doorknob. Locked. Then it dawned on her. Though Magician Bailey's list was stowed in her skirt pocket, she easily remembered the first item on it. Something to open a door. Was this part of the test, then? Cianni fished through her bag for the skeletal arm she'd crafted and held it to the doorknob, only to freeze when the paper fingers were a centimeter away. Something to open a locked door, Magician Bailey? She asked, blood draining from her face. Despite her flawless memory, Cianni dug the list out of her pocket and reread the first task. Number one, something to open a door. It said nothing about it being locked. Had the folder purposefully left off such a critical element for the sake of revenge on Emery? Her breath quickened. She stared at the doorknob. Surely she wouldn't fail her test before it even started. Breathe, she told the arm, and she held it to the doorknob. But the lock was nothing magical, and her spell couldn't open it. She pulled the arm away, the fingers of its hands wriggling like an overturned beetle's legs. Tears welled in her eyes. Surely, if she showed them the list, but they wouldn't even talk to her through the door. Would she really have to walk back down the corridor in shame, her bag of paper spells in tow? She had no other spells to fold, nothing that would open this bloody door. Cianni grit her teeth. No, she wouldn't fail, not after everything she'd been through. She would pass her magician's test. She would be a folder. She would see that smug look wiped off Magician Bailey's face when she opened this door if she had to break it down herself. She paused, studying the door. It had no locks beside the one in the knob. For a moment, she was tempted to become a smelter so she could use an unlocking spell. But she left her necklace with Magician Avioski, and it would be cheating anyway. Cianni Twill was no cheat. A simple lock. She could get past a simple lock. Her old friend Anise Hatter had done it once at their junior academy when the principal ordered no desserts were to be served at lunch after discovering graffiti on his office window. Anise had broken into the cafeteria, and she and Cianni had eaten 2 pieces of cake each. Stepping back, Cianni began dismantling her enchanted arm, which broke the animation spell on its bones. She pulled a thin rectangular piece of paper from below the wrist and, with a stiffen command, wedged it between the door and the door jamb. She shimmied the paper down until it hit the knob's latch. Sawing the paper back and forth, she wriggled it under the latch and, with a clipped sigh of relief, pushed the door open. Bright afternoon sunlight poured through the blinded windows, illuminating the rectangular room, which measured smaller than Cianni had imagined. It had unpolished wooden floorboards and sand-colored walls, undecorated, save for a large, clean chalkboard on the wall with the door. The only furniture in the room was the long table across from the chalkboard, behind which sat Magician Bailey, Magician Avioski, and two men C&E didn't know. Magician Avioski stood and gestured to the two men.
C&E, this is Magician Reed, the headmaster of the Tagus Pref School for the Magically Inclined. He is a polymaker.
The man, who was gravely overweight and wore a thick white mustache, nodded his head. So this was Magician Avioski's replacement at the school.
And this is Magician Praf, nephew of Tagus Praf, she said, gesturing to the second, younger man.
He looked to be about Emery's age and had a very straight nose and kind eyes.
He, too, is a polymaker and is attending this testing as a witness.
C&E offered a small curtsy and a nod, since it didn't seem appropriate to march over and shake their hands.
The pleasure is mine, she said.
Magician Avioski sat down and read a paper set before her, pursing her lips. After a few seconds, she said,
Creative way to complete your first task, Miss Twill, but I'm not entirely sure it counts.
C&E stared at Magician Bailey and said,
I believe the request was for something, not a spell specifically. Correct?
Fight this and I'll show the others your lack of specifics on the paper you gave me, she thought.
She prayed none of the other tasks had been similarly abridged. The slightest twinge touched the corner of Magician Bailey's mouth. The inkling of a smile, perhaps.
Correct,
the folder agreed.
If you'll continue to item number 2, Miss Twill, we will proceed.
C&E nodded and tugged her large bag into the room, letting the door close behind her. She moved to the center of the room, backdropped by the chalkboard, and pulled a paper crane from the top of her pile of spells. Number 2, Something That Breathes, the first folding spell she had ever learned. She passed that task easily. Her spell for the third item, Something to Tell a Tale, also dated back to her first days as an apprentice. After her visit with Magician Avioski 2 weeks ago, C&E had returned to the cottage with Emery to collect the children's book, Pip's Daring Escape. She now read the story in its entirety, and the four magicians across from her watched the ghostly images of a gray mouse dance before them. Magician Reed seemed especially entertained, which bolstered C&E's confidence in her solution to item number 4, Something That Sticks. C&E lay out 4 bearing squares on the floor, the same she had used when decorating Mrs. Holloway's living room for her husband's celebration party. While she had been tempted to use the squares to hang a dunce sign on the back of Magician Bailey's shirt, something as critical as her magician's test required a certain level of politeness. Instead, she used the squares to stick a paper doll of herself to the chalkboard, which also completed task number 5. Something That Copies. The magicians remained silent, save for the occasional, please continue or go on, from Magician Bailey, though after the first dozen spells, he merely nodded and gestured with a hand for her to continue. It seemed Magician Bailey had also determined the test required a certain level of politeness. On C&E worked. She displayed her blind box for item 14, Something to Hide the Truth, and a conceal spell for item 15, Something to Hide Yourself, to which Magician Reed commented,
Good show!
To C&E's relief, she did not have to make item 24, Something to Cross a River, actually cross a river. Magician Bailey simply stood from his chair, walked over to her folded boat, and inspected it. A simple, from his lips indicated it passed inspection, and she moved on. Despite having her spells pre-made, C&E found the time dragging. The room bore no clock, but she checked the windows after every spell to see how the sunlight had moved behind the blinds. She shook out the front of her blouse as she reached for her 37th spell, Something to Defend Against a Tramp, in an attempt to cool her skin. She didn't dare break the silence of her test to request that the magicians open a window. After encircling her enlarged chain spell around her torso, Cyane retrieved a ripple spell from her tweed bag. The commands enlarge and ripple grew her to 10 feet and distorted the room enough that Magician Praff cried out for Cyane to stop, which she did immediately. A nod from Magician Bailey allowed her to bring forth her next spell. Her 44th spell, the Flying Starlights, managed to impress the impermeable Magician Avioski, whose eyes widened in childlike delight once Magician Bailey closed the blinds and the starlights began to glow. For item 45, a way to be in two places at once, Cyane defaulted to her paper doll. Magician Bailey frowned and folded his arms.
You cannot use the same spell for two different tasks, Miss Twill.
Cyane's heart missed a beat. Her tongue went dry, and she had to swish it around in her mouth before croaking,
What?
The folder leaned forward.
You cannot use the same spell. You've already showcased the paper doll. If you do not have an alternative solution, I will end the examination.
Taking a deep breath and trying to keep her voice level, Cyane said,
I don't recall that requirement being in the rules, Magician Bailey.
The folder's face remained unchanged.
It's there, Miss Twill.
Is it?
Magician Praff asked. The two simple words sparked some hope within Cyane. She was so close to finishing. She couldn't flunk now. Cyane glanced at Magician Avioski, meeting her eyes. If I were a gaffer, I could be in two places at once, she thought. She wondered if Magician Avioski could read her thoughts, for a knowing smile touched her lips. It vanished quickly. Magician Avioski pulled out a briefcase hidden behind her chair and opened it. She filed through the papers within until she pulled forth a booklet, which she then thumbed through without comment. The silence of the room pressed on Cyane from all sides. She reminisced traveling through the tight, hot valves of Emery's heart. This felt very much the same. Magician Avioski's voice severed the quiet. She read from the booklet.
An apprentice cannot use the same prepared spell for two consecutive tasks. The perpetration of this will terminate the test.
I'm sorry, Miss Twill,
Magician Bailey said.
Cyane's heart splattered onto the floor.
Don't be, Magician Bailey,
Magician Avioski said.
The rule book says consecutive. These two tasks are more than a dozen list numbers apart. Therefore, the paper doll is eligible.
Cyane's eyes widened and her hands flew to her heart. She bit down a loud thank you that threatened to break her teeth. Magician Bailey frowned all the deeper.
You realize that a simple reordering of the list would make the doll unusable, yes?
One does not simply reorder the test list, Magician Bailey,
Magician Avioski said, placing the booklet back in her briefcase.
It has a set order determined by the Supreme Council of Magic. If you truly believe Miss Twill deserves to fail, you'll have to send your request for reversal to them.
Cyane felt a drop of sweat trace a path down her backbone. The frown engraved itself onto Magician Bailey's features, but he nodded for Cyane to continue. Cyane moved through her last spells with renewed energy, sprinting at the end of the marathon in a desperate attempt to reach the finish line before Magician Bailey could cut the ribbon ahead of her. She demonstrated a vitality chain, the shred spell, the illusion spell she had created of the night sky, even a cardboard box used to keep food from spoiling. For number 53, a means of escape, she threw down two handfuls of navy blue concealing confetti. She felt her body warp before it reappeared behind the judging table. Finally, after what felt like hours, Cyane reached for the final spell in her bag, one that took up barely more space than her fist. She imagined task number 58 had been meant as the most challenging, one intended to make the apprentice reflect on her years of training and ponder her future years as a magician. A means of living. Unspecific, yet inspiring. As a paper magician, she could easily have written an inspiring essay on how folding had changed her life, how it would shape her career as a magician. She could have orchestrated an army of animated spells, creating a room full of magic-induced life. She could have created a wall-to-wall illusion grander than the junglescape in Mrs. Holloway's mansion, displaying an abundance of wild, perceived life. But she hadn't. She'd used the first idea to bloom in her mind upon reading the last task. She'd set it aside at first and pondered on more clever and striking things. But her thoughts always returned to this one simple spell. She could defend it with pretty words and tear-filled emotions if need be, but with Magician Avioski on her panel of magicians, she doubted she'd need to utter a single word. Her fingers wrapped around the paper heart, sitting in the corner of the tweed bag. She straightened and held it before her, cradled in both hands, and whispered, "Breathe." The heart pumped softly in her hands, its bum-bum-bum, rattling softly against her skin. A means of living. The greatest spell she had ever crafted. She said nothing. Even Magician Avioski didn't offer an explanation, which made Sini wonder how far word of Emery's near demise had reached. Magician Bailey stared at the beating heart in Sini's grasp and smiled.